This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Howdy, what up? What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, ready to roll on this Tuesday around the country. A lot of good stuff today coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So we've got little Luca out of the chute. A lot of step today. Jamal Murray, that is an absolute crusher.
Terrible.
Oh, horrendous, Teak, for the Denver Nuggets. And some good guests. What's going on, buddy? How you doing today?
Yeah,
you good?
All's good, man. It's you know, I hate, just to get to Jamal Murray real quick, I hate to see young athletes have, I don't want to say it's meaningless, because obviously the game was still going on. I mean, they weren't going to win that game last night against the Warriors. Steph was just ridiculous. But, and we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But I hate to see young players go down with injuries like that that feel so devastating. Now, today's sports world, you come back from those and it's not devastating, but man, it derails some serious momentum that the Nuggets were pushing right now.
There's no question. And you look at the numbers, and not just that he puts up, you know, a little more than 20 points a game and basically five assists a game, blah, blah, blah. But you look at the arc of his career. Remember, he's had some great playoff moments, as we know. But this year, in terms of his own individual career, it's the best he's ever put up in terms of points, efficiency from both the field behind the stripe, assists, steals. These are all first across the board for Jamal Murray. And there is a precipitous drop between, you look at the amount of minutes they played, he and the Joker together, which I believe is right around 1,400.
Yep.
And their net efficiency is like plus 11, plus 12 points in the 550 minutes or so that Jokic has played by himself. It goes from plus 11.2 to about minus 2.1. Mm. So that is not good if you're a Nuggets fan, which we'll get to a little bit more thoroughly later on. You know, listen, these NBA guys got to get the memo that they're trying to grow the sport. Now, whether or not, I mean, listen, whether or not you like the whole play-in setup, right? And that's debatable. At first, I wasn't fully down with it.
I don't think I mind it. I think it's kind of cool, but it just keeps more teams from saying, all right, we're done. Let's quit. It's over. Like, and I hate that about the NBA, because it feels like when teams start to just say it's over, it's not even watchable, some of those games.
Oh, there's no doubt. Like, you're talking about like the Pistons right now. I know it is very tough. Very tough to stomach that stuff. And listen, I'm not saying it's the absolute, you know, best setup here, where the 7-8 teams play each other, and then the winner of the 7-8 matchup plays the winner. The winner of the 7-8 matchup gets the 7 seed.
Yes, and
then
done.
The loser plays the winner of the 9-10, and the winner of that matchup gets the 8 seed. I'm not sure that it's perfect, but to your ultimate point, it brings in more energy, more interest, and it allows teams to finish off the season with a more competitive backdrop.
Yes.
Because you're theoretically chasing something, even if it's something that is really off the beaten path of a championship. Now, last week, I want to play both of these for you. Let's first go with Draymond. Draymond was riffing on this, and Draymond didn't like it. And I didn't love that Draymond projected that, okay? But I do want to have, you know, great separation between, you know, Draymond Green, multi-time champion. But I say borderline Hall of Famer. At the end of the day, probably gets in.
Yeah, he probably does.
He probably gets in. I hear you. So when Draymond says this, it's a little different than what Luka says, which we'll play after. Go ahead with Draymond from last week, guys.
To be honest with you, I don't go into these games thinking like, man, we need to win these games in the playoffs. Like, I hate losing. So when I step on the floor, I want to win. But I'll be 100% honest with you. Fighting for a play-in spot does not motivate me. You know, we're in, what, 10th? Like, fighting for a playoff spot doesn't motivate me at all. Like, I don't go into these games thinking at all, like, hey, right there on the fringe, we need to win these games for this play-in spot. No, I want to win every game I play in because I hate losing. It really bothers me. So that's what motivates me, not fighting for some play-in spot. I don't really give a damn about the play-in spot, to be honest with you.
So that was Draymond.
Yeah, and clearly he doesn't like it, VT.
Doesn't love it, not motivated by it. Unless I get it. He's in his early 30s. He's played a million games. He's played into June basically more than half of his career. I understand that it's, you know, it's pennies on the dollar at this point for a multi-time champion. But again, you know, I don't love it only because it to an extent, and I get where he's coming from, and I appreciate his competitive spirit. And he's one of the only true dogs in the NBA that's left, and I love it. But it, on some level, it kind of devalues what they're trying to, you know, get off the ground and get a little energy behind. But I can have distinct separation between that and, you know, Luka Doncic, who is an amazing player, but hasn't really done a damn thing yet in this league. Hasn't
True.
Done a thing.
But you love him, too, so I'm surprised you're going in on him like this.
Well, I love him. And listen, you know, we could check the records here. Your partner was saying 2.5 years ago, 25% Bird, 25% Magic, 25% LeBron, 25% Jason Kidd, and 100% Transcendent. I coined that almost basically when he first entered the league. I knew this guy was going to be an all-timer, and I still certainly feel that way, but still, from a team point of view, hasn't done a damn thing. So when Luka Doncic says this, I receive it a little differently than what Draymond Green said. Go ahead, D-Cell.
I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we're just trying here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
Well, you don't have to see the point of it. You just have to do your job, buddy. You're 21 years old. They shaved 10 games off the regular season. That's one of the reasons why they're doing this.
Yep.
So if they, you know, I mean, it used to be 82. Now it's 72. And your job is to elevate the Mavericks, which by watching you play as often as we do, you pretty much do by yourself. Because, again, Porzingis didn't play last night. Half the time he's hurt. You don't really have a true third. I mean, you don't have a lot around you. Luka Doncic is basically the future of this league, along with Zion and a few other guys. But you're 21 years old, dude. When I hear, like, my mind always goes back. This is my reset, my recalibration mode. And I know it's different. But it shouldn't be different at the most competitive core when you first enter the league. Can you imagine Magic or LeBron or Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan hung 60-plus on the great Celtics team. He knew he had no chance to win the series.
Yeah.
He just spun Bird around like a topple, you know? And it's just, I don't want to hear this from young guys. Just play.
Well, I understand what he's saying to an extent. And here's why. Because they're having not a rough season, but it's not going nearly the way that anyone thought it would be with the Dallas Mavericks. I can't remember where we both had them, but I feel like
I had them third or fourth. I had them pretty high.
I know I had them hosting the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, me too.
So it was either fourth or third, like you as well, BT. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can excuse the beginning of the season because, you know, Luka was out of shape, and I don't know, Kristaps was doing Kristaps stuff, which is
not he didn't play the first
That's
month.
What I mean. Doing Kristaps stuff, meaning not playing.
Meaning another knee surgery he's recovering
exactly.
from.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, okay, I understand. Maybe we just misread the offseason a little bit. I get why they had a slow start, but
yeah.
I mean, it's Luka. It's Kristaps. They're going to be fine. They're going to storm up the rankings as soon as they get healthy. And it just hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of waffling. And so from a Luka Doncic standpoint, what he's saying is, look, we know we're potentially good, but we're not actually good right now. And if we get into the postseason via the play-in, or we have to play in the play-in game as a 7 seed, mm-hmm. and we end up losing twice, then we're done and we're out before we ever got a chance to find our stride. It makes sense from that standpoint.
I don't think it makes sense. You had 72 games to find your stride.
True,
what are you waiting for?
But Kristaps is always hurt.
I understand that.
And Luka has some days where it's just like, all right, that was a no-show day for Luka.
Not many of those.
It's not many at all, but it happens, and they lose games. And so
he's also triple teamed.
He's got Tim Hardaway Jr. as his best option. I don't disagree, but it is what it is. And so he's the frustration is you grind through 72 games and you're in, and then all of a sudden you have to win to keep going. You know,
it's a new rule.
I understand it. I get it. But it's a random rule. They just instituted it because of financial reasons, and they got to put more games on the schedule. Last year they had to put more games on the schedule because so many of them were canceled.
The TV deals
for the TV deals.
Yep.
And they're kind of doing the same thing this year.
Hey, listen,
because of the shortened season.
Teague, what do I always say? Adaptability is the key to life.
Yeah.
Adaptability is the key to life.
Yeah, here's why I think Luka should have just not commented on it.
Yeah,
because they're not winning a championship this year. You know,
I don't even want to hear him project anything remotely that
hits
on that. I don't want to hear that.
I'm not even talking about Luka thinking that they can win or not. I'm talking from an outside perspective, looking at this Dallas Mavericks team.
Yeah.
They are not winning a championship this year.
No, so, there's no chance.
So to comment on, you know, if we hit the 7th seed or the 8th seed or the 9th seed, we got to do this play-in tournament, and woe is us. We're trying to get to the 6th seed. It doesn't matter where you go. You're not winning a championship this year. So
but it sounds petty.
I don't disagree.
Okay. It sounds almost entitled, like, yo, you're 21. And again, you are a terrific basketball player. A figure that, you know, and by the way, maybe it wouldn't be, it's funny because I know what you said before about, well, he started the season out of shape. Like, that's an excuse, but that's not a valid excuse. Like,
For a 21-year-old.
Certainly that.
If you're James Harden and you're 31 and then you're like, I get it, James. You just had to chill for a couple months, right? Yeah. I understand that. Luka, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know when the season started. Adapt. Mm-hmm. Adapt. Get your body right, get your mind right, sync it up, and come out and ball instead of, you know, languishing as you shaved off. Not that he was, you know, incredibly subpar, but he wasn't quite the dynamic player for the first few games of the season. It was noticeable. Mm-hmm. We talked about it.
Yep.
He had a little girth around his gut. He said it. Rick Carlisle said it. We knew it. You know, they said it. We reacted to it. So, you know, I don't love this. This direction that we're going in, like these guys enter the league, these young cats, and there's almost like a premature elevation from an individual branding point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I get. I do understand that. Sneakers, international star, I get it. Uniform, merchandise, I know. But when that happens too early for a player, it's almost impossible unless they're wired like Kobe or MJ, or Tiger or LeBron, that unique wiring where nothing will deter you at all.
Yep.
Then Brady, you know, Mahomes, you're going to get a little sidetracked and start believing your own stuff when you're in your early 20s. You really haven't done a damn thing.
No.
You've had a couple of good seasons.
Yeah, no.
I want to hear about you not interested in a play-in game. I don't care, Luka.
Yeah, you haven't. You need the play-in game, to be honest.
That's right. You're right.
It's another opportunity for you to, prepare yourself for the intensity of the postseason.
Well, it's literally another opportunity to maybe make the playoffs.
Yes.
Because if they keep, I mean, who knows? I mean, there were 6 right now, right?
Yeah. Well, no, there's 7.
Seven.
He said they're trying to get to 6 so they can avoid the play-in game,
which is right.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Of course, I don't mind that. If he said, hey, you know, I want to avoid it. But of course you want to avoid it because you're striving for something better.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to me, if I'm Luka or if I'm the Mavericks or if I'm any of those teams that are in that near the cut line, I'm saying, man, if there's every year for playing, this is the year to do it, because at least if I don't get the top 8, I got a puncher's chance.
True. Now,
rather than going home.
Are they going to continue this? Do we know at post these non-shortened seasons? I don't know. I think that has to be voted on, right?
I don't know yet.
I don't know. I have to find out, but I mean, I wonder after, not that 10 games make a big difference, but I guess it does kind of make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you play 82 games, you kind of know who deserves to be in the postseason.
For sure.
And, you know, maybe the play-in is altered a little bit so that a team that, you know, clips above that 7th, that 8th spot, so he's in 7th, doesn't necessarily have to be threatened to not making the playoffs after you've clearly made it. You know what I mean? I think that's what Luke is getting at. Like, we've clearly made the playoffs if the season ended right now and we're sitting at 7. Instead,
it's not over yet.
We could have a bad day or Chris Stapps could have a toenail flare up and he doesn't play and we lose 2 games in a row and all of a sudden we're sitting at home.
It's called
in the
basketball.
Postseason. Yeah.
That's called basketball.
It's not basketball as we've known it, though. That's the problem, I think, and that's what he's getting at. But I think your point, which is valid, is that, Luka, you've been doing it for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Calm down.
And by the way, you know, there's guys that, you know, I went through this with Ewing his first couple of seasons. 85, he was the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I think, I want to say 20. They had 23 wins. He missed the last 20 games, so it wouldn't have mattered because he hurt his knee. But then in 86, they were terrible. Then in 87, they started popping a little bit. And then obviously they start to ascend and they were a perennial playoff team. But, you know, I wish that this playing thing existed back then because at least they would have had a chance. Like, if anything, it's more of an opportunity for the young guys now, the young guys who get drafted to teams bereft of talent, you have more of an opportunity, even if it's only a game or two based on the play-in scenario, to make your mark and play playoff games. So, I mean, I'm all about the competition.
Yeah.
I'm not all about these players, you know, starting, one's a veteran, one's a kid, starting to pop off and you know, in various terms, kind of question either the validity or the path to the play-in. Dude, just play.
Yeah.
Just play.
Yeah, you should love basketball enough that it doesn't matter. Give me a ball. Give me an opponent. Let's go play.
Yeah.
Regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah, and again, I'm not the get off my lawn guy. There's a lot of things about the modern game I love, but one of the things about this generation, and now I will be the get off my lawn guy for a moment, is that they complain about everything. Like, just do your job.
Yeah.
Show up, do your job, do it to the best of your abilities, and let the chips fall where they may.
You're right. You're very well compensated to do exactly that.
Yes. All right, T. Well, one of the teams fighting for the play-in spot, they're around there, the Warriors. Steph broke a franchise mark, which means we've got to try to position, and not just the greatest shooter of all time, which he undeniably is, and it changed the game. You know, you look at that rarefied air, that NBA upper stratosphere. Where does Steph truly, truly deserve to reside right now? If he never played another game, is he top 10? Is he top 12? Is he top 15? Where will we put Steph? We'll go through that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Welcome back. Make sure you catch us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, Instagram as well, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Lee Bryce, Tiki, we got our buddy Lee Bryce on today.
Lovely.
Country music star.
Yeah, he's amazing, man.
He's awesome. 420 Eastern. Former Clemson walk-on as well, football player. Justin Leonard coming up at around 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Wrap up the Masters stuff and a whole lot of stuff in between, including Steph Curry,
yep,
who was bombing away. And we'll get to the Jamal Murray stuff more extensively. But Steph was bombing away against those Nuggets. And, you know, he put on a show, scored 53, passed the great Wilt Chamberlain. Now, Wilt played for a few different teams, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the numbers are obviously split up a bit, unlike Steph, who's played every second of his career for the Warriors. But here's Steph on surpassing the great Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time Warriors scoring list. Steph now number one. Here he is.
To be anywhere near him in any record book or now be on top, like, it's surreal and it's wild, because if you grew up in the game of basketball and you hear his name, you know it's something extremely special, no matter what it is.
Got a ton of records, 100 mm-hmm. points in Hershey, PA, blah, blah, blah. All right, so, you know, invariably what's going to happen here, and I guess it's my natural defense mechanism, because I always do this, even with players that I never saw Wilt. I mean, I've been doing this with baseball players my entire life, whether it's Babe Ruth or Willie Mays or Ty Cobb or DiMaggio or Lou Gehrig or Killebrew or Al Kaline, and any guys that I didn't see play. I always make sure that when we're going through the list of all-timers, which I admit I take probably a little too seriously, like, I'm very protective of that list. Not to say that I think my list is going to work for everybody. I'm not that egotistical. No, it's obviously subjective. But I see some of these lists from people, and there's nobody pre-1996. I'm like, are you kidding me? There was a lot of basketball played before, including Bird and Magic. Teak, you know, I do think, though, that is going to sound odd. I'm probably going to get some hate on this, a little haterade, serve it up. I think that when Steph's career is over, I think that he is going to be unfairly or unnecessarily, unjustly, even though it's kind of the same as unfairly, but unjustly, better way to frame it, unjustly elevated to a spot on the all-time list that he doesn't necessarily deserve.
It's interesting because I thought you were going to say it was going to be the other way.
No.
He was going to be unjustly or unfairly lowered on the list of the all-timers because of who he is, like in his size and he's just not, I don't know, he doesn't feel like he's that dominant player. But the reality is he is a dominant player, and he has been at least for the last 6 or 7 years. And I think it's harder to put him on a list than it is to talk about what we already know his legacy is going to be. And that is he changed the game in a sense, right? He changed it so that we care about how many three-pointers you attempt and make in a game. Whereas before it was like, you got one or two guys that can knock them down. You give them license to shoot. Now it's like, okay, everybody, if you have a above 35%,
not even.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even, man.
Some of these teams.
Not even close.
Right? Just if it's there, take it.
Yeah.
Right? Even if it's not your shot, take it. And even on the Golden State Warriors, we know this isn't Draymond Green's shot. How many times did we see him early in their, their championship seasons, early the first two or three, do we see him standing there? Nobody's talking, go ahead, Draymond, take that.
Shot so many knuckleballs, he should be a pitcher.
I'm telling you. But he would take them, right? Because
that
was the philosophy that Steph helped initiate into the NBA. And the NBA forever has changed because we look at any game on any given night and even meaningful ones, we still see this. Like, we see that impact. And I think that ultimately will be his legacy, whether or not people view him as a top 15 or 20 player of all time or not.
Well, I mean, listen, there are certain players that just leave an indelible mark on whatever game it is. And, Tiger Woods, it's funny, they were talking about this over the weekend during the Masters coverage on CBS, where Tiger Woods, back in the 90s, at one point at Augusta, averaged 322 yards off the tee.
Wow.
That was, we're talking 20-plus years ago.
Yeah.
And you compare it now, that's still pretty damn good. And it was different equipment and a little bit of a different ball, too. So you look at the explosion, but also the style. And not to mention the race implication, the race elevation for the sport, the awareness. Although the numbers haven't really gone in a direction I kind of hoped that they would and thought that they would when he started to play in the late 90s. I thought at this point we'd have more minorities on tour.
Yeah.
We don't. But that's not Tiger's fault. He can only do what he can do.
It's still an affluent sport. There's no way to get around
it. No way around it. Even with the first tee programs, there's no doubt. There's no way around it. And there's some nice grassroots initiatives for sure. But Tiger had the style and the explosion, right? Jordan, we all did. To this day, I wear baggy shorts. Even if I'm in the yard doing yard work with my flip-flops, every pair of shorts I have, it's baggy, right? The sweet sneakers, the wristband, like the gait up and down the court. Kobe walked the same way. There's the way Griffey would style out of the box when he hit a bomb. A lot of guys do that. A lot of guys got – well, first they got it from Reggie, and then, of course, they modernized that and got that from Griffey. What we will have forever with Steph Curry is that, and I've said this a few times, the moment a little kid walks into a gym, he's not hitting a layup, he's not dribbling, he's launching one from 30 and he's yelling Curry as he flings it from his hip.
Yeah,
Curry,
that's right.
And probably draws air. That's number one. Number two, and I noticed it again last night, we've seen it his whole career, but what I don't know that he gets credit for, we all talk about his ability to hit threes and from deep, but the way he frees himself up on some of these threes, whether it's a little subtle, like in, out, or an up fake, or quick, like, there's like two guys on him.
Yeah.
And he does one little wiggle, boom, he's free.
Yeah. And
it's amazing.
The other thing also is he is great around the rim.
Yeah, he is.
Because we don't see him there very often, but when he gets there, he's completely. We talk about Kyrie all the time, how Kyrie just, once he gets airborne around the rim, it's touching glass somewhere.
Yes.
Even if it's like the bottom edge of the backboard.
Yeah.
And it's somehow going to flip into the hoop.
Yeah.
Steph Curry's the same way.
Very similar.
Right? He just doesn't do it as often. We don't see it as often. But he's got an unbelievable game. But I think what he does, and if I was like if I loved basketball, like I loved football when I was younger, and say that young, I was that young person now, and I watched Steph Curry, he would make me feel like I could play in the NBA.
No question.
Because look, I could jump, but I couldn't dunk, right? And so how many times we see Steph Curry dunk?
We don't. We saw him dunk in the All-Star game.
Yeah, but we don't really see him dunk. Much, and so it's much, like, all right, I can be a super athlete. I can have like this nimble, you know, like athleticism and move and groove. And as long as I can shoot three-pointers, I can play. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's inspiring a different sense of the word. You know, not like Jordan was, where everybody wanted to lower their rims and, you know, sky and do all that other stuff. But like, I can actually be like him, and we see some guys try to. Trae Young, they're just not as good as knocking down the three-pointers.
That's true. I think, you know, he is amazing. There's no way he's amazing. I saw another stat today where at age 32, he's got three 50-point games this season.
Yeah.
And the most of anybody age 32. I want to say MJ had two.
Hmm.
I thought he might have a little bit more. MJ had two.
That's surprising.
Yeah,
it was a different game though. I mean, at 32, Jordan like was old.
Well, he was also, most of it was at the rim too. He did a few threes.
True, that's a good point.
But the wear and tear on the body, you know,
great point.
And back then he was getting hammered by, you know, Oakley and all those tough teams, the Pacers. They had the Davis boys then. So I mean, he was getting the snot knocked out of him when he went to the rim, even though he kept going. And Bernard King was on that list from the Knicks, from the Washington Bullets in 1990-91. I was a little surprised. I knew he made an All-Star team there. Didn't quite realize he did that. I want to say Wilt was maybe on that list. It was rarefied air. So let me ask you, you know, because we've talked about Curry for a long time here, Teak. Before we get the update, let me hit you with this. Give me your best guess, which I've already constructed my list. Where do you think I have? Granted, he's got the ability for upward mobility.
Yes.
He can move up. He's not going to move down. He's not going to get lowered in this. Where do you think I have him right now on my all-time list in the NBA? Knowing how I make sure I respect history.
Yeah, I'm going to say 14.
No. Can I give you the list real quick? I won't even expand. I'll just give you the list. Ready?
Run through.
All right, 1 through 5. MJ, Kareem, LeBron, Russell, Bird. My top five right there. I got Magic 6. Mm-hmm. I got Wilt 7. Oscar 8. Tim Duncan 9, Hakeem 10.
Yep, you always love Tim Duncan.
Oh, and Hakeem. Always give those guys love.
Yep.
Kevin Durant's number 11 for me.
Okay.
The great Kobe's 12. Mm-hmm. I got Shaq 13, Elgin 14. May he rest in peace. And just left
just
us.
Just passed away,
The great Dr. J, who did a lot of it in the ABA, but too often gets overlooked. Dr. J.
He does always get overlooked.
That's why.
Like, everybody knows him and loves him and reveres him, but they forget to put him on the list.
I know. And that's why I make sure I don't.
Yeah.
So he's number 15. Uh-huh. 16, I've got Jerry West. 17, I've got Moses. Two MVPs, championships as well, Moses.
Yep.
Isaiah Thomas, number 18 for me. I've got Kevin Garnett, number 19.
Really?
And I've got Steph Curry, number 20.
Wow.
Right now.
You just fit him in.
Number 20.
Just fit him in.
Number 20.
All right.
You know, some people would object to, obviously, you know, Garnett, Isaiah, maybe even Jerry West. He lost a lot of finals. A lot of people kind of sleep on Moses, maybe because they just don't know the history. A lot of people, you know, Elgin was so long ago, maybe you forget about him. Yeah.
Where do you see Steph finishing on your list when it's all said and done? Let's say he has.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Let's say he has 4 more years left, and he plays similar to how he played this year. Some games he's scoring 50, other games or close to it. Let's say he's not going to score 50 at 35, 6 years old. Maybe he will. But let's say 40, like 5 times, and you know he does that for the next 4 seasons.
I don't think for me he could cut into my top 15.
Yeah. What if he wins another championship?
And he's one of the true focal points of the championship. That changes things. Maybe he kind of pushes Dr. J aside, maybe pushes Elgin aside.
Okay.
He could theoretically for me go up to maybe 14.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that he'll surpass Garnett. I do believe he'll surpass Isaiah. And I do believe for me he'll eventually surpass Jerry West. So no matter what, I have him 20 now. I think easily he's in that, you know, 16, 17 range. A little luck, a little health. I think he can get a couple of spots beyond that.
In a championship, he's top 15.
That doesn't hurt, man. Championships always help. All right. Let's get the update from Ack coming up after that. A little inbounds, out of bounds. Hey, Ack, real quick, by the way. You're a fellow, not to sound, you know, pompous, but a fellow historian. You know your stuff. I put Steph Curry number 20. What do you think about that? Your first reaction?
I like it. Because I think that in a different way, albeit from what we saw from earlier in NBA history from Wilt and others, he did transcend the game, as you mentioned. That's he was the first to really expand that shooting range.
Okay, good stuff. Axe got the update. Teek and I'll hammer through inbounds, out of bounds. We'll do that coming up next. Also, our buddy Lee Bryce next hour, country music star, huge football fan, went to Clemson, played there. And we've got Justin Leonard, a little golf, wrap up the Masters, set up the rest of the season, coming up in the third hour. Axe update, then we'll hit inbounds, out of bounds. Here's Rich. Okay, Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Some good hoops out of the chute. We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a moment. First, though, it's time for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. Little CP3, Chris Paul. Another double-digit assist in 5 of the last 7 games. He had 10 last night. Phoenix beat the Rockets. Pretty much everybody does. But Paul is 5th in the NBA right now. Nearly 9 handouts a game. And last night, he also passed Scottie Pippen for a 6th on the all-time steals list. How about that? There's only 2 steals behind the great Maurice Cheeks, the great Sixers point guard, champion in 83. That's a hell of a team. Moses, Dr. J, etc. Cunningham. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop on by. So I know that CBS Sports Network just tweeted this out, which is cool. I'd love to get you guys your reaction. Go to our Twitter account at Teeky and Tierney or directly at CBS Sports Network. You should follow both, obviously. There's that little clip that I just ran through, my top 20 players of all time. I'd love to know, you know, what you disagree with, what you like, what you, you know, where you'd put Steph. I've got Steph at number 20. So by all means, check it out and get us back on Twitter. Inbounds, out of bounds in a moment. We've got Lee Bryce coming up next hour. Justin Leonard, third hour, a little golf on the Masters. But then we've got some good football stuff in inbounds, out of bounds. Teek, you ready to roll?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Teeky and Tierney.
All right, the Niners trade up to the 3rd pick. That's already been done. Likely will have their choice of Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields. Now NFL Network's reporting that both Lance and Fields, interesting approach here by both young men, planning to implement drills and throws into their pro days that 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan favors in practice. So, personally catering to the style, making a push for that 3rd spot. In or out, it's a mistake for both players to cater to the Niners while ignoring the other teams that might draft them.
I think it might be a little bit of a mistake. So, I'm going to say inbounds here, BT. Not because I don't think it's prudent to show Kyle Shanahan that you can be adept at what he likes to do, but if it's not what you're good at, it may put you in a bad light because you underperform. I think at this point you should do exactly what you've been used to doing and leave it to whoever drafts you, that coaching staff, quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, etc., to groom you into that player that they want you to be, not try to prove that you're that player before they even draft you.
Sensible take. I'm going to go at it a bit of a different way here. You know, the way the question's framed, Mike writes, it's a mistake. Well, to me, it's only a mistake if you can't do it well.
That's what I mean.
And I'd have to think that, you know, they've obviously scripted this and they practiced this, and before they told everybody that they would do this at the 2nd pro day, that they're very comfortable and that they've gotten some nice intel, some good feedback. Hey, listen, this looks smooth. This looks right. We'll go from there. We all know, you know, that both of these guys can fling it, you know, 60, 70 yards on a string. Fields a little bit more juice than Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And certainly a lot faster. Better athlete, and to me, the better prospect. But I don't mind this, provided you check all the other boxes, which, based on their first pro days, I believe they did, though I'm less of a Mac Jones fan than most, or than some, because actually a lot of people are with me.
Yeah, well, Mac's not doing this. This is just Trey Lance.
Trey Lance. I do like that they've got the confidence. Again, what I said before, adaptability, and I've said it before many times, adaptability is the key to life.
True.
As long as you're within a comfort zone.
But the problem for me is that this rings like, hey, look what I can do.
What, desperation?
Yes. Instead of, I'm the blanking man. Yeah. I'm great at what I do. Take me because I'm that guy. I'm going to walk into the locker room and I'm going to have confidence.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you though. Let me flip it back. Is it being desperate or is it being proactive?
It's proactive, but if you don't do it well.
Yeah, well, that's the risk. You better do it well.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Are you in or are you out?
The world champion Bucks are set at quarterback, at least for a year, and probably a couple of more knowing Tom Brady. Signed on to stay with the champs, as we know. However, what happens in 2022 and beyond is still a bit of a question mark, although, let's face it, Tom's playing in 2022.
There's no doubt.
No doubt. Last week, head coach Bruce Arians wouldn't rule out the Bucks taking a quarterback in the first round.
You have the right, like I said, the right guy's there that we think is a developmental guy that has the upside that outweighs every other position of those five or six guys that we're looking at, then yeah, we wouldn't be against it. And you know, same thing in the second round and the third round. If we have five guys and one's a quarterback and we think his development's better than those positions, sure.
Okay, there you go. So in or out, the Bucks should draft the quarterback in the third round or higher as a possible replacement for Tom Brady.
I'm going to say out of bounds with that, BT. I think, especially if Bruce is going to stay on for, you know, past Tom Brady, I think it's more prudent for the Bucks to, if say Tom Brady wins, say wins another championship and with the Buccaneers, and he just says, "Look, I'm out. I see y'all." And Bruce Arians is like, "Dude, I still got a team to win a championship. I just need a quarterback." Mm-hmm. I think he's going to go try to find.
A veteran. Yeah.
So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Yeah, I'm going to say out of bounds, too. I'm not going to pigeonhole myself in anything here. You know, just to take a quarterback in the third round or higher as a possible replacement for Tom Brady, I mean, I got to be enamored with this player's skill set and the projectability of what he's bringing to the table. You know, whenever Tom Brady finally fizzles out, and eventually Tom's going to fizzle out. But I think to go into the draft with a predetermined mindset about a position gets you in trouble. That's when you start reaching. I think that's maybe when you start seeing things that aren't there. You start convincing you. I do it by fantasy drafts.
Yeah, agreed. I'm the same way, man.
We can all relate to this. It's not a different concept. You have a predetermined method of drafting, right? And when you get to that point, you convince yourself. And a lot of times, at least for me, I convince myself the wrong way because I'm trying to fit that preconceived move that I had kind of, you know, pegged before the draft. So keep it fluid. I think you remain married to your big board. Trust your talent. Trust your scout evaluators. And if there's a quarterback who can fling it, who's a little raw, then you take him. But if you don't really like him, pass. Get somebody you like.
BT.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all of the teams right now. And I know it's going to take a minute, but it's the Broncos, the Titans. No, not even Titans because
Tannehill got a 4-year deal.
Well, he was a first rounder. I'm looking at all the teams. In the NFL, there's very few teams that are starting a quarterback that wasn't drafted in the first round. The Cowboys are obviously one as well. Yep. And if it's not first, it's just under the second. So Jalen Hurts.
The 49ers, Garoppolo.
And Drew Locke. So the 49ers and the Cowboys.
Seattle.
Seattle, yes. So three teams. Four teams are starting a quarterback that they didn't draft.
Are we sure he didn't miss anybody? I know it's a low number, but Derek Carr, second round, Raiders.
Yeah, but I said outside of the second round. So,
my bad. Gotcha.
So forget, like, if, you know, I'm not talking about Jalen Hurts or Drew Locke or Derek Carr.
Got it.
I mean, taking a quarterback in the third or fourth round and saying he's going to be the star.
Doesn't work too much.
History doesn't prove that that's facts.
Gotcha. Good stuff right there.
Are you in or are you out?
Joel Embiid, one of the two or three favorites to win the MVP. He's back, obviously.
Yeah,
missed a little bit of time, came back, and he's bowling. Last night, dominant, 36.7 boards, just 26 minutes of action. So after the game, Embiid compared himself to one of his NBA contemporaries.
Never seen my son just being a post player. I've always seen my son just being, you know, like, I don't know, Kevin Durant, just moving all over the place, shooting off the dribble, handling the ball, you know, crossover, posting up. So, yeah.
So he compared himself. The audio was a bit muffled. He compared himself to Kevin Durant, which is the way he views his adaptability to whatever's presented from a defensive point of view. I don't really see that. But here's the question. We do believe that Embiid's versatility would have allowed him to thrive back in the day against some of the big names in the 90s like Hakeem, Shaq, Ewing, and Robinson.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm going to say inbounds. I'm thinking first defensively. Mm-hmm. Could he have bodied in there with those guys? The answer is undeniably yes. He's just massive. He would have to learn how to not foul, you know what I mean, against some of these guys. But I think he could handle stand up. But offensively, absolutely. Because he's going to pull these guys away from the basket in ways that they couldn't have, they didn't even know about in the 1990s.
Yep.
A big man having to guard up on the perimeter. Forget that. And he's got the ability to put it on the deck, too. So I would say, I'm going to say inbounds of that one.
I'm going to say inbounds as well. I think that he's one of those unique talents. You dump him in any decade, any era, and he's a star. And now if he's coming up in the 90s, which means he's playing, you know, high school ball in the 80s, he's coming up with a toughness that, you know, belied all those players back in the day. They were all fierce in their own ways. Like Shaq was just, he was just gangster, going to rip his soul out. Hakeem was a quiet assassin. Robinson was a tactician, and Ewing was a combination of girth and dexterity, although at the end he was obviously thicker, but early on he was a beast. He was playing way above the rim, and they were all ferocious. I think that if Embiid came up with that tenacity, I'll tell you what, of all those guys, I probably would give him the best chance not to stop Shaq. Nobody's stopping Shaq, but to at least serve as a deterrent. Like, Shaq would just abuse Robinson, and he would kind of abuse Ewing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hakeem was a different player, so nobody abused Hakeem. I think that Embiid, just that girth, 7'2", 7'3", 280, even though he's lost a little bit of weight, he probably could have held up the best against Shaq in the post, just body to body.
That's right.
Let alone taking him out and then doing the things that you said. So, inbounds, yeah, I agree.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, we didn't have time for this, but let's hit it real quickly here. So A.J. Hinch, who we've had on the show a few times, new skipper of the Tigers, was in Houston last night. Hmm. Remember, he was banished for years. Yep. We know his role with the scandal, the dugout scandal, the cheating scandal. Hmm. Got a rousing ovation. They showed a video montage. Too much or acknowledge one of your own, no matter how it went down?
I think you can't not look at this in context and realize that he was the scapegoat for something that the whole organization should have been culpable for. And I think that's what the fans appreciated. He obviously won them a title, but I think what they're applauding is that he got done wrong, and we all know it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he is a great baseball mind. He's got some tracks on the back of that. Well, because he's got a new uniform on. There's no visible tracks, but maybe still on his skin.
Yeah.
Because he got railroaded.
Yep.
He took the heat. All right, coming up next here. So, Brett Favre, some interesting takes on sports and politics and off-field drama. Want you to get a sense if you agree with that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.